Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Wasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
This is Tell Me What to Read, powered by Booktopia. I'm Sarah McDooling, and today I'm here with my fellow category managers, Shanya Prasad and Ben Hunter, to talk about the books that we're excited for in November 2022. And I am feeling some emotions because this will be my last Booktopia podcast before I leave Booktopia. So if I start crying, we'll just edit that out, right? Ben, would you care to kick off by just telling us about the fiction books that you're most excited for?
Yeah, I will kick off for fear of tears bleeding in. November is just an enormous month of the year for new releases. It's that hot little peak before Christmas hits, right? So everyone puts their kind of stellar blockbuster books in at the end of the year. And there's a book that, well, there's actually two books that are years upon years upon years in the making, from a not quite young and very highly accoladed author. I'm talking about Cormac McCarthy. It's been about 16 years since The Road was a Pulitzer Prize winning novel. He is just like a landmark name in American writing and even just in fiction in general, right? And he has not one, but two books. So there is a novel called The Passenger, which is out this month. And then in a few weeks' time, there will be a second smaller related 10 years post that book. And that is called Stella Maris. It is the 1980s as a diver who has to retrieve bodies or something after a jet crash. And there is all of this stuff about loss and the human condition. It is high literature at its most high, right? It is the kind of stuff I don't feel smart enough or qualified enough to talk about. But I've been really fortunate to be able to see pages before publication, and there was a whole schmozzle of they sent these early bound up copies. They printed a really limited run of them all around the world, and there was just a couple in Australia, and I was going to see one. And then the person at Pam McMillan, who's the Australian publisher, they had the copy in her hand, and then the author just like decided no. This has to change. There has to be a change. And so that's been tossed out. And then I got another one. And anyway, I got to read a few pages of the book, and I can't tell you it's the best book ever written. I can't make that choice. But like, what I can tell you is that those few pages I've read, he just has a gift for the English language. He writes in a way that I can't. Right.
So possibly the best book ever.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm not going to make that claim at all.
I've seen excellent reviews, and I really needed to know that it wasn't going to leave me in a shambles like The Road did.
Yeah.
Right.
And what for anyone else that is in the same boat as me who loves the writing but just is still traumatized by reading that book, everything I've heard is that it is not like that. So you should be safe to read it and just enjoy the writing without having to be completely.
That's good to know.
Yeah, The Road was devastating. Blood Meridian was just horrific in its scale of just blood and torment and the horrors of America. This is something else. It's years later. It's a much older author. yeah, this could be the last big thing he writes, or it could be many more things he writes. We don't know.
I liked how you described him as a not quite young author.
I think you'll appreciate that. I'm going to segue out of that into kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, crime fiction, and just like the biggest, most beloved detectives in crime are back. And I'm just going to like Gatling gun, rattle them off. There's a new Kerry Greenwood. She just delights people left, right and centre. She has a new one. Murder in Williamstown, very Melbourne, very much Franny Fisher. She's back. She's doing more. It's wonderful. There is a new Michael Connelly, and it is his detective duo, Renee Ballard and Harry Gosch, that's like the powerhouse of Connelly. And Connelly is just like unparalleled in my mind. He's probably my favourite crime writer at work today. There's a new case, Garpetta, from Patricia Cornwell. Mega bestseller. And another Australian favourite, Gary Dish's Hirsch. He's back for another one. It's called Day's End. And again, rural Australian crime fiction is like such a zeitgeist. It's such a wave, right? And Hirsch is just like the best character in that field, in my mind. He's just bloody great. Then we kind of transition into some oddments, right? There's one book that is getting just all this hype from its publisher that I want to talk about really quickly, and it just might be the heaviest book you pick up this year.
But it is by weight or by like
no, by subject matter. Oh, this is not a book for you, Shanu.
Okay.
And it is also a detective story set in Auschwitz.
Yeah, not for me.
It's called Ashes in the Snow, and it's a great premise. There's a detective character who is hiding his own, I think it's a genetic disorder or something, so he could be a target for the Nazis, but he's a detective, and a high-ranking Nazi has been murdered in this factory of murder. This has to be investigated. And of course, this guy goes in and he's trying to do his job and survive in his lane. But of course, his eyes get opened to this horrific secret that is the final solution that's going on. I get nervous around Holocaust fiction. It's a thing that can be done wrong, and it's a thing that can, it can rub people the wrong way, and it's not something you pick up lightly. But I always encourage people to read it, because this is a story that has to be told and told and told. And if authors are finding new ways of telling it, I think that's a good thing.
Who read that book?
Oh, that's a great question. It's German in translation. The author is Oriana Ramano. we'll put a link to it in the show notes because I can't pronounce names. Another name that is hard to pronounce, I'm great at those segues today, is Numenor, which is the...
Numenor
is the fallen city in the second age of Middle Earth, the island kingdom of men, and it is kind of a big... staging ground for the Rings of Power series that's been on Prime. This is huge event in television. The Tolkien family estate has been working with a Tolkien scholar, and these are kind of tales that come out of the so-called second age of Middle Earth. The first age of Middle Earth is kind of catalogued in the Silmarillion, which Tolkien heads, Tolkien fans are wild about. And then there's all these kind of missing stories that sit halfway in between. And yeah, as I said, The Rings of Power, huge powerhouse TV series. And I think it's not an accident that this book is coming out at this time after the show. I think one for the Tolkien fans there. And then I've got some just like super charming Australian books to finish with. I can't not talk about Rachel Johns. She's just so loved by her fans. But she has a new book, contemporary fiction. It's called The Work Wives. It is about female friendship, the workplace, and then two just brilliant characters, and it just sounds just delightful, and everything you want to read in the summer. Another book that's like everything you want to read in the summer, which is also like a non-crime book, it's called Clark by Holly Throsby. And Holly Throsby, the singer, you might have heard her in a band, but she can write. She's a gorgeous writer. And this is kind of inspired by the story behind the Teacher's Pet podcast, but that's just a springboard, which just like hung this like gorgeous town and these characters. And of course, Teacher's Pet podcast, you know, he kind of culminated in this backyard getting dug up looking for this poor dead person, right? Holly kind of asks the question, what happened to the guy that's like living in the house now? And she just has created this most gorgeous town, Clark, which is an analogue for every regional centre in Australia, and it has the most delightful characters who have secrets of their own. And yeah, so the missing body is a springboard for the story, but it's so much more than that. And it totally like sneaks up on the reader, and it's totally charming. And that's all I'll talk about for fiction. I'm out of steam, but I could keep going.
That was great. That was spellbinding, Ben. okay, well, I will take the reins and talk about some upcoming kids' books that I'm excited about. I've always struggled so much to whittle it down to a manageable number of books to talk about. So I've just done the thing that I normally do, which is I picked one teacher book, one junior fiction, one YA, and I've also thrown in a kids' nonfiction. So hopefully between all of those things, you know, if you're gift buying for a really little kid or an older kid or a teen or a kid who, spoiler alert, really likes Lego, then... then I've got you covered. So, picture book. I'm going to talk about Need a House, Call Ms. Mouse by George Mendoza with illustrations by Doris Susan Smith. This book has such a nice story behind it. It was, much like myself, originally published in the 1980s. But unlike me, the book went out of print. I did not go out of print. but it is a beautiful classic story, like with beautiful cross-section illustrations, and it's all about a little mouse architect called Henrietta who designs different houses for all her animal friends, and the houses are quite like logically designed based on the animal and the needs of the animal, and they're very detailed and they're very wonderful, and people just sort of gasp when they see these gorgeous illustrations. They're now retro. I suppose at the time they were very modern. and this book has been put back into print by Allen and Unwin, by the children's publisher team, who noticed that people were buying secondhand copies of this book because it was out of print and it was such a beloved favourite for hundreds of dollars on eBay. And they were like, well, wait a minute. If people are willing to spend hundreds of dollars on a secondhand copy of this book, then perhaps they might spend much, significantly less on a reprint. And so it is back. Need a House, Call Ms. Mouse, Ms. Mouse, I should say. It is absolutely wonderful. I love it, and I have actually bought it for several of the little people in my life, and I might even just keep a copy. Because I definitely am going to be, for sure. It's just a really cool book. I always love cross-section illustrations where they show you inside houses and stuff, and these ones are just really, really creative. And you can't help but when you go through the illustrations decide which, and like I'm charmed by this, and I don't have a childhood connection to it. I don't remember this book from my own childhood, but I know that there are several people in the office who do, who like lost their minds when they saw that it was going to be available again. And you can't help but decide which house you want to live in. And I want the owl's house. It's a tower with a telescope because the owl likes to look at the night sky, and it's very romantic looking, and I like it a lot. The second runner-up is the pig's house. Miss Pig has a mansion, and it's very fancy, and I like it a lot. So anyway, that's that's the fiction book I've chosen to talk about. I will now move on to junior fiction, where I want to talk about a book called New Dragon City by Mari Mancusi. The tagline for this book is "Nobody expects the dragon apocalypse." And it's true. We're also wrapped up with the zombie apocalypse. No one ever is expecting for there to be a dragon apocalypse. But this book takes that premise and really runs with it. It's set in like post-dragon apocalyptic New York City, where basically dragons have come and destroyed everything. And in a very How to Train Your Dragon flavored story, if you can imagine how you train your dragon set in post-apocalyptic New York, you've got a good feel for this book. There is a young boy, Noah. He's been taught to hate and fear dragons. It's a kill or be killed situation. But when he has a chance encounter with a dragon, he suddenly starts questioning everything he thought he knew, and it's wonderful. That's I really exciting. Love this book. Yeah, it's very, very easy to read and a great adventure. I couldn't put it down. And it's got a marvelous cover as well. The cover, you can see like what looks probably like the remnants of the Empire State Building with a dragon curled around the top, looking down at a little boy with the sun breaking through the clouds behind them, and it just screams, "Turn me into a movie." Anyway, really, that was a book that I really enjoyed, and I feel like for junior readers, particularly if you've got anyone in the house who's a little bit dragon crazy, I am myself a big fan of dragons. That one has my double thumbs up. Now I will move on to YA, where we have something very special. It is, in fact, a special limited collector's edition exclusive to Booktopia of The Prison Healer by Lynette Noni, which is probably one of the biggest, certainly one of the biggest Australian published fantasy trilogies of the last couple of years. This is book one, re-released in a really gorgeous, fancy special edition with all the bells and whistles. It's got... the cover matches the cover of the original book, but it has been printed with a metallic sheen, so it looks really fancy and cool. And then underneath the cover, the naked hardback has a beautiful design printed on it. And then when you open it up, the end pages have gorgeous full-colour character illustrations, which are just to die for, both at, obviously in the front and the back end pages. There's a beautiful blue ribbon to help keep your spot wherever you happen to be up to in your reread of this amazing romantic fantasy series. Plus there is two-toned printing for the maps and a lot of bonus content for the author. And we've never really done anything like this before, where we've had our own special exclusive to Booktopia fancy edition of a book before. So I'm super excited about it. It is selling like hotcakes. We do have only a limited supply. It's a one-off deal. I've bought a copy, and that is my hot pick for YA. And then last but not least, a really great Christmas gift, I think, for the whole family is Brickman's Big Book of Better Builds by Brickman, aka Ryan McNaught. We have signed copies of this book available, and I just want to call out that Ryan McNaught is just the loveliest guy. When he came in to sign copies of this book, and he signed a big pile of them, he couldn't help himself. Like, he would stop signing to help us carry the boxes out the back. He had great advice on the best method of stacking those boxes. And he is the Lego master. He's Brickman himself. So you know it was good advice. This book is full of like amazing insider secrets and like special tricks to help you become a Lego master like Brickman. And I just feel like if you give this to a kid in your family, the whole family can get together and have a go at building these crazy, amazing better builds.
Send the title again for me quickly.
Brickman's Big Book of Better Builds.
Brickman's Big Book of Better Builds.
It is very much a tongue twister. Brickman's Big Book of Better Builds. Available at Booktopia.
And signed if you're quick,
yes. And that is a wrap on kids. I'm not crying. I'm feeling happy.
Because you've had such amazing books to talk about.
I have. If of all the books that I was going to talk about in my final ever Booktopia podcast, I'm glad it was this collection. I feel strongly about all of them. And now, Shanu, I throw to you to talk us through some lifestyle and trait nomination books.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Now, today I have decided that I will start with the trade books. And by trade books, I mean nonfiction that is not lifestyle. And by that, I mean the history, the biographies, the personal development, all of those sorts of books. So basically your big, big blockbusters. Now, is there a biggest name in gift giving at Christmas or that special person in your life who likes a really big book than Peter Fitzsimmons and The Battle of Longtan, which is the book, his latest book, and the book that you can get signed copies of as well. We have a lot of that talk today at Booktopia. And it is it's out now. It's out now and it is a monster. I can attest to that, having moved them around the warehouse as we were signing it. And it sounds absolutely fascinating. As always, meticulously researched, lots and lots of behind-the-scenes information, lots of, like, stories you've never heard about before. And if, you know, if you always give someone in your family a Fitzy book for Christmas, don't stop now, because this is going to be a big one in both senses of the word, big in scope and big in actual size. Then the next book I'm going to talk about is one that's not coming out actually till the middle of the month. So depending on when you're listening to this, it might still be a pre-order or it might be out. We'll see. I mean, you will know, because you know, you'll know whether it's before or after the 16th of November. That date, the 16th of November, is a date when the incredible Michelle Obama is releasing her second book called The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times. Cannot think of a better title for a book to come out now. Mm-hmm. Super excited about this. She's given an excellent video where she talks about why she's written the book and what the book's going to do. So I would highly recommend, rather than listening to me talk about the book, you just go and listen to her dulcet tones as she tells you about her book. And another perfect, perfect, perfect Christmas gift. The third book that I'm going to mention is one that is we have picked at Booktopia for our book of the month, which means it gets an incredible price, which means you, from the 1st of November to the 30th of November, can buy Ashbardi's memoir for 50% off the recommended retail price. That is an enormous discount, and I really think that if you're going to buy it in November, that's my recommendation to you. it's going to be really incredible. If you've been around, you would have seen the media for it already. And it just sounds super interesting, and I cannot wait to dive into it. And I'm just going to quickly round up a few other, just, you know, maybe people you might have heard of before. But last month I did talk about the incredible women of in the biography nonfiction space. This month I'm going to talk about the fellas. So just to name check, just a few little books coming out this month by, you know, Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story, Who's a By? It's by Bono. Love him or hate him, you probably have feelings about him. And even if you don't love him, there will be someone in your life that does. And so you should definitely get them this, because he literally talks about his whole life through the songs, 40 songs, get it? And then one story. So his life through 40 songs. So that is 100% for the YouTube Bono fans. Then the next book is by just a little person. I don't know. I've only had to be educated about him, Matthew Perry. Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. If you want to find out what the big terrible thing is, you're going to have to read the book, which is out now. And then there's another, just a couple, little bit, you know, more Australian, maybe well-known to me. One of my favourites is Will Anderson. He is has written a book called I Am Not Fine, Thanks, which is, you can imagine how wonderful that's going to be. Will Anderson is in book form as he is in life. So it's already moving very fast. We have very, very limited signed copies. So I would get in ASAP if you would like a signed copy of this book. And then finally, in the nonfiction space, we have two books for the sporting fans. One is a book called Sultan, a memoir by Waseem Akram, a very well-known cricketer. Even though he's not an Australian cricketer, he's probably the most beloved non-Australian cricketer, or as I have been told by cricket fans. And then the next book is The Price Paid by Tim Paine. A little bit more controversial, this one, a little bit more than just a normal cricketing story, because it does delve into sort of the things that happened around the end of his career, but it also does give you a whole backstory about how he grew up and, you know, a bit more of a normal sort of sporting memoir with a little bit of extra added in there. So perfect for the sports fans in your life. That is the books that I will be mentioning. There are so many more. So I definitely recommend jumping into our Christmas gift guide where you'll be able to find these and many more recommended new releases. But let us move to, I'll put my lifestyle hat on and talk about my biggest and favouritest books that have been or are releasing for November. So there are so many cookbooks this year, so many incredible cookbooks. You might have thought the last couple of months I talked about cookbooks that surely I could have talked about all the cookbooks. There could not be any more cookbooks being published this year for Christmas. However, let me just say these names: Amelia Jackson, Adam Liao, Po Ling Yao, Kate Reid, aka Loon Croissants, Claire Saffert, aka Dessert Person, Reese Hignall, aka Cake Boy, Matthew Evans, Heston Blumenthal, Renee Redzepi, Kate Reid again, because she's done a special edition of Loon, which is amazing, and Vegemite. Could there be more iconic names in the food world? I think not. These are all books that you need in your life. Or for the person that loves cooking or that just loves beautiful books, because personally, I don't think I'll ever, sorry, Kate, make a croissant, but I will 100% be buying that Loon Croissant Special Edition because it is beautiful. The photography is beautiful. There's other things that she makes that fills the croissants that I will be making. I would highly recommend that to anyone that loves a beautiful book. We also have, of those many books that I have just mentioned, some signed copies, again, very limited, of Amelia Jackson's book, First Cream, the Butter and Sugar, Adam Liao's book, Tonight's Dinner 2, Poe's book, What I Cook When No One Is Watching, and Kate Reid's book, Loon. Not the special edition, unfortunately, because that was shrink-wrapped, and we know everyone loves to keep the shrink-wrap on the book when we send it out, but definitely the original edition, which means you can buy the original edition to use and the special edition to keep on your shelf. Beautiful. So they're my picks for lifestyle food and drink. I do want to just throw in a couple of other non-food and drink books that I think really need to be called out. Because they are incredible and they're my favourites. And sorry, you're going to have to hear about them. The first one is an interiors book called Home by the Sea, which is Surf Shacks and Hinterland Hideaways by Booktopia favourite Natalie Walton. Every single book she does is a bestseller for us because she has the most incredible access to the most beautiful houses, and she does such an amazing job of photographing them and talking to the owners and really getting behind the scenes about what their lives are like and how they live, and you will want to live like this. And poor Byron Bay and surrounds who already inundated with people will probably have more people trying to buy a shack up there, $1 billion shack, but still. And then the second one is Aunt and Pike, which is a design firm, Australian design firm, award-winning, so many awards. They have produced their first monograph with Thames and Hudson, and it is one of the most beautiful books, I think, of this year. That's not a good book. And it is, again, selling really, really well because everyone needs this on their coffee table, and you will be 100% looking to restyle your house next year if you get a copy of this book. Very last book, very, very last book, because I know we're running quite over time probably, as we always do, because we just have so many books to talk about. This book is a little, just by, again, just, you know, these authors that we have that just, you know, they're just little known, but they do okay. That's what I reckon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that guy.
The one that, you know, for 2 years in a row has won our Booktopia Award for
favorite Australian book.
Exactly. Favorite Australian book, 2 years running. Can he make it 3 years running? We'll find out. Life, What Nat to Do, a hot take on the advice you never asked for. Brilliant name, brilliant title, brilliant guy. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so good to give this to, well, obviously have one for yourself, but to give it to, like, just anyone in your life that just might need a little pick-me-up, that doesn't want to do a self-help book, but would you think maybe they should just have a little bit of, like, guidance in their life. And who better to give guidance than that's what I mean. And the best part is that for the first time ever, we are being able to do signed copies of this book. So amazing. I cannot wait to be able to offer that to everyone. So that's my little roundup of top picks for November from me.
And now we do have to wrap this up. However, as you mentioned, Shanu, the books we mentioned today are just a little taster plate of what's available this year. So you definitely should check out the Christmas Gift Guide to just see the full array of awesome books that we didn't even get a chance to talk about in this podcast. So you can check them out, as well as the books we did mention, in this podcast at your local bookstore or online at Booktopia. I'm starting to feel some emotions because this will be my final podcast, but I would like to take this moment to say that while I may be leaving Booktopia, Booktopia and the people who work there will not be leaving my heart. And while you recover from the extraordinary cheese of that, I will also delight in saying that as of next month, you'll be able to hear about all the latest kids' books from the amazing Amy Evans, who is going to absolutely smash it. Finally, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to drop us a review on Apple Podcasts or a like on Spotify and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening and never stop reading.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au. Links can be found in the description. We would also love to hear what you're reading, so feel free to join the conversation on social media. Search Booktopia on your favourite platform and join our book club. We'll catch you for our next episode, but until then, thanks for listening and never stop reading.